anytime women are put into leadership or preach or are platformed, it's an opportunity to shape the imagination yes. of the church.
I genuinely hope that every girl, every young woman, every woman sees community as a place where I can fully use my gifts for the mission of Jesus.
That was the intention at the beginning of creation, this mutuality, this equality, this men and women side by side carrying out the rule of God in the world.
All right, good morning. It's so great to be here today, and thanks for celebrating with us. And Janet, yes, thank you. I've been in the Lincoln Park area now for, almost 14 years, and it was a great day when Janet moved here, and her impact on our church has been profound, and just excited about what God's going to do in your new role in Wisconsin. And Janet, I don't remember if you're a Packer fan or not, but if you are, then, you know, now you can go back to your homeland. And wow, things just got really ugly, didn't they? But anyway, yeah, it's super fun. I mean, that's part of what it means to be church in the city. We know people, some will be here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, but we have an opportunity when you leave to send you and know, hopefully, that what you've experienced here is something you can take with you and be on mission and have an impact wherever you go. And Janet's a perfect example of that, so thank you for that. And in some ways, I almost feel like, well, let's just interview Janet instead of having me talk, because it's amazing how God lined this up, Janet, for you to have your last Sunday here with what we're talking about, kicking off this new series. But I want to begin with this. If you happen to come across, and this is going to sound a little bit weird because you probably don't do this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you happen to come across McDonald's social media, has anybody ever come across McDonald's social media ever in their lifetime? Oh, well, wow, there you go. Okay, Jenna likes McDonald's social media. Thank you, Jenna. You saved me. But did you come across it on March 18, 2018? You might have noticed something strange, okay? The M was actually flipped on its head and became a W. Maybe some of you saw this now that I mentioned it. The M was actually flipped on its head and became a W. Some female franchise owners and employees inspired McDonald's leadership to change their logo on all of its digital channels as a way to recognize International Women's Day. Kind of cool, huh? One franchise even brought out a crane, and you can see in this next photo right there, yeah, to literally turn the iconic sign upside down from an M to a W. So with that in mind, I figured it was only appropriate to say to all of you, Happy Mother's Day. Or should I say Happy Weather's Day? Sorry, come on, give me a little love here. Come on, man. I am a dad, and yes, that's a bad dad joke right there. Okay, but you know, truthfully, I do extend a heartfelt thank you to all the ladies here today. And while today is a day we set aside to honor moms in particular, we recognize the contribution and value of every mom in our lives, or every woman in our lives, I should say. And I also just want to say that. While we acknowledge that many of you will celebrate and honor your moms today, I also know that for some of you, this is a hard day, and it's a sad day, because maybe your mom is no longer with you, or maybe your relationship with your mom is just not what you know you hoped it could be. And I also know that for some of you, your hopes and dreams to be a mom maybe have not been realized, and I know that can be really hard, too. So I just say all that, mother or not, we're just grateful for you and every woman today. And so, guys, if you would, join me, okay? And let's express a heartfelt thanks to all the women today, all right? All right, awesome. And, you know, I probably don't have to tell you that so often churches almost exclusively focus on the stories of men. Almost exclusively. People like Peter, Paul, and no, not Mary so much, but people like John, right? But today, in similar fashion to what McDonald's did when they flipped the logo, we want to kind of flip the script on the church today. And what we want to do is learn about some amazing women in Scripture. And we're confident that as we do this, we will discover that there were many more influential and high-impact women in Scripture and in the early church than we ever realized. And sadly, excluding these women and their stories has often led to silencing and excluding women in the church today and throughout history. And so like John said, we're starting a brand new series. I'm super excited about this series titled Her Story, Women in the Bible. And I want to give you just a little bit of a background so that you can sort of know where we're coming from in this series. You know, when we started Community in 1989, we recognized early on that we would want to follow a biblical pattern of leadership and appoint elders to provide oversight for the church. And we knew that at that point, we would have to identify elders, and we call that now our leadership commission. We also knew that we would need to figure out who could serve in that role, men, women, both. And I'm guessing as soon as I even say that, some of you are thinking, well, why was that even a question? But the truth is, it is a question. It remains a question and can be controversial among some churches and denominations even today. And in fact, as we begin this series, I would guess that there's probably at least three different groups of people in the room today. Some of you might be brand new to church. I don't know, maybe this is actually your first time here. If it is, man, we're so glad you're here. You might not know that there actually is a debate as to whether or not a woman can lead and or teach in the church. Some of you might be aware of the controversy, but don't have a deep knowledge of it. And then finally, some of you might have experienced strong teachings on the topic, and you have your well-developed opinions on this particular issue. And I just want to say, too, right now, that there are some churches and leaders with whom I deeply respect and work alongside right here in the city who don't share our view on this topic. So I just want to kind of say that out loud, too. What I want you to know, though, is this. Early on in the history of our church, we took a deep theological dive into Scripture and came away with the conviction that Scripture encourages both men and women to use their leadership and teaching gifts freely in the church. And I got to tell you, from the very beginning, of community, we've benefited deeply from spiritual women who are gifted to lead and gifted to teach. And, Janet would be a tremendous example of that. Many others are in the room right now. And over the next 4 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to help you better understand why that has been our position for decades. So here's what you can expect in this series. Okay, in this week and in the next 2 weeks that follow, we're going to look at Scripture at three different women, all mentioned in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and their names are Phoebe, Priscilla, and Junia. Phoebe, Priscilla, and Junia. Now, you might already be thinking, well, I've never heard of them. Well, now you have. And over the next couple of weeks, you're going to get to know more about them, their stories, their leadership, and the impact that they had on the church in the first century. And I think what you'll find is you're going to be surprised and inspired by these women. And then in the final week of the series, we've talked about this, I think, for the last couple of weeks. We will share a conversation between our lead pastor, Dave Ferguson, our teaching pastor, Telmi Melchin, and then Tara Beth Leach. She was in part of that video that you saw before I came up. She's an author, pastor of Good Shepherd Church. And they're going to talk together and have a conversation and help us continue to understand the theological foundations for women leading and teaching in the church. And they're going to address scriptures actually used to argue that women should not hold certain positions or lead or teach in certain areas as well. And so I can't encourage you enough. Be here for the next several weeks as we walk through this incredible series, Her Story. As we look at these scriptures and stories that are so important, I think, not only for the church historically, but for the church, especially today. All right? All right, so let's get started. The first story we want to explore is the story of Phoebe. And Phoebe is actually the first name mentioned in Romans chapter 16, which is arguably one of the least read chapters in the entire Bible. You know why? Because it's mostly just a list of names. Who will admit that when you come across one of those chapters in the Scripture, it's often easy just to kind of pass it by? Okay, I've got a few people that are going to be honest with me today. Right. But skipping over this chapter, I think, would be a huge mistake, because New Testament scholars have been amazed to discover that 9 of the 26 names listed in that chapter are actually women. All right, and remember, at that time, women were undervalued, they were dismissed, they were neglected. So the fact that Paul mentions any women at all actually is incredibly interesting for that period of time. This was not the cultural norm to honor women by including them on a list like this so explicitly and publicly. Yet even more so, the fact that Paul lists Phoebe first, all right, on this list is even more remarkable. The first spot on a list like this was often reserved for the very most prominent person, the one you wanted to acknowledge as the most important person on the list. So what does Paul say about Phoebe, okay? What does Paul say about Phoebe? I want us to look at three key distinctives that Paul mentions in his tribute to Phoebe. He mentions her role as a deacon, as a benefactor, and as a sister in the faith. All right? Why don't you say those words after me, okay? Deacon, benefactor, and sister. Right. So Paul writes these words in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. Paul calls Phoebe a deacon. Now, if you're like me, you're going to have to put sort of like your imagination to work for just a moment. Because when I hear the term deacon, and maybe when you hear the term deacon, all sorts of images might come to mind. And for me, when I hear the word deacon, I think of a guy in my church when I was a kid growing up. And his name was Gene, and all the kids called him Mean Gene. And, you know, I don't know if, I honestly don't think this guy was probably that mean, actually. But he was kind of a big guy, red-faced, had a crew cut. And all I remember Gene doing was yelling at us and telling us to stop running in the church. And so for me, I figured, hey, that must be what it means to be a deacon, right? You tell the kids to stop running in the church. Shockingly, I know, that would not be the role of a deacon in Phoebe's day. The early church, if you didn't know this, actually would have likely met in homes. And all the letters from Paul suggest that these gatherings were rather rowdy, rambunctious affairs where you'd have all the interactions taking place that you normally wouldn't see in good, civilized Roman society. The wealthy would be sitting next to the poor. Jewish people would share the dinner table with Gentiles. Men and women, parents and children, masters and slaves would all gather at a common table, eat a common meal, and share a common cup as they read scripture, sang songs, and remembered Jesus' death and resurrection. And who was leading all of these activities? Any guesses? The deacons. The term deacon literally means servant. Servant. It was the term given to those set aside by the early apostles. If you look at Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the fifth book in the New Testament, you'll find in chapter 6 where they appointed deacons to make sure everyone in the community was taken care of, especially the orphans and widows. But check this out, okay? The term deacon also applied to public servants. Public servants, meaning government officials in that day. And so several New Testament scholars have recently argued that while serving is definitely a part of what it meant to be a deacon and what they did, the term had enough of a leadership ring to it in Roman society that it would likely have also implied a leadership responsibility. And some scholars have suggested that we translate the term deacon to ministry provider as a better translation. Ministry provider. And it would better convey the scope of what Phoebe would have been doing. She was providing ministry to her community. And it's likely that if it was at Phoebe's house where the church was actually meeting, she would have had done some planning in the whole occasion of what occurred during that time while the church was together in her home. She would have welcomed people as they arrived, much like some of us welcome people when they arrive here on Sunday mornings. She would have pastored and guided them through the meal. It's possible that she would have even planned and taught on the scripture for that day. And then she would have likely provided follow-up connection and care throughout the course of the week as well as one of the deacons of the church. See, Phoebe was doing the work of ministry as a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. But I got to tell you, I think what I love most about the story of Phoebe the deacon is the clear way she was using her gifting. I love the clear way that she was using her gifting. We don't know exactly the contours of her ministry day in and day out throughout the course of the week, but it seems clear, man, that the church needed her leadership. They needed Phoebe to be deaconing, if you will. And so I would say to all the women here today, and to the men, I want you to think about this. What are the giftings that God has given you to use as a ministry provider for his church? What are the talents? What are the abilities? What are the gifts that God has given you to be a ministry provider for his church? And are you using your gifts the way Phoebe used hers? Because, folks, we need everyone. That's the way the church was designed to be. We need everyone to be using their gifts, both men and women. So Phoebe was a deacon, but you know, Phoebe was more than that. Let's listen as Paul continues in Romans 16. And he writes this. He says, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people. Notice that word receive. I ask you to receive her and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Now, the key term here is benefactor. And the Greek word here is actually prostatus. Prostatus. And it's from which we get the term patron. And so Paul is quite literally saying, Phoebe has been my benefactor and patron. My benefactor and patron, as well as a benefactor to many in the community. Now, in Roman culture, a benefactor or a patron like Phoebe was very likely from a wealthy family, or she married into a wealthy family. But then her husband likely died, and she was then responsible to oversee the business and estate herself. And so Phoebe had a choice, right? Would she use these resources to benefit herself and her children, or would she use her resources to benefit the kingdom and the church? And clearly, Phoebe chose to use her resources to invest in God's kingdom. And that's not to say she neglected her family. It's just to say that she was clearly interested in using her resources to benefit the kingdom, to benefit that local faith community. Now, many commentators think that in addition to hosting a church in her home, Phoebe probably housed and paid for Paul to write this letter to the Romans. Check that out. Phoebe probably paid for Paul to write this letter to the Romans. In those days, letters were costly. I mean, you had the cost of ink, you had the cost of scrolls, you had to pay a scribe to write down what you said as you spoke them. Phoebe likely paid for all of this. But it gets even crazier, okay? Because track with me, because Phoebe was not only a benefactor to Paul and to others, she appears to be the carrier of the letter. Notice how Paul says, receive her. Phoebe was apparently the one who carried Paul's letter to the Romans. That has huge implications. I was also kind of thinking, you know, as unreliable as our postal service is in the city, maybe we should reinstate this. Can you imagine someone showing up at your door to personally read a letter to you? That's how it was done back then. You can also imagine how expensive that would be, right? Phoebe would have made this long trek from Corinth to Rome, moving from house to house, from house church to house church, to share this letter from Paul. And as the letter carrier, she likely read the letter to these house churches and then answered people's questions. And if you've ever read the book of Romans, it is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's deeply challenging theologically. And so Paul trusted Phoebe to not only carry this letter, but then to read it and explain it to his friends in Rome. So as a benefactor, Phoebe funded Paul, funded his letter, carried it to Rome, where she made sure that everybody understood it. And as a result, Paul says to the churches in Rome, I commend to you Phoebe. And you can see why he said honor her, right? He said, take care of her. She's been a benefactor to me. Make sure that you provide for her as she has provided for me and as she has provided for many of you. And you know, there are people like Phoebe today. Benefactors, men and women who have chosen to invest their financial resources that God has given them so that we can be all that God wants us to be as a church. And if you think about it, and I know this is the case for many of you, if you found your way back to God here at Community, if you found a group of friends that you would consider almost like to be your family now, it's likely because of a Phoebe. Someone who was faithful and gave their resources so the church could be what it is today. And I can't help but say, you know, for many of us today, guess what? It's your turn. It's your turn to be a Phoebe, to use your God-given resources to continue to move this mission forward. I mean, what an incredible example we have in Phoebe. All right, here's my last observation. Paul, at the start of his commendation, calls Phoebe his sister in the faith. He calls her his sister in the faith. As children of God and as followers of Jesus, we've all been adopted into the family of God, right? In Jesus, we share equal status as sons and daughters of God. But there's more. See, Paul says, I commend to you our sister, Phoebe. And when Paul uses this term, I don't think he was saying, oh yeah, you know, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Fist bump, high five, that's great, right? No, I think Paul actually meant it. I think he meant, this is my sister. I mean, ever have somebody say this about maybe you or somebody else? She's like a sister to me. Or he's like a brother to me. When somebody says that, I mean, that means something, right? There's power in that. There's influence in that. There's impact in that. He doesn't call her his daughter in the faith. He doesn't call her his mother in the faith. Instead, he refers to her as what? As an equal. He says, this is my sister in the faith. And Paul says, I want you to honor her. I want you to respect her. I want you to listen to her when she speaks. And so this is my final challenge in light of Phoebe's story. And I think the church is just too often missed on this. And I would, you know, when I say these things, I'm, you know, confession as well, personally, missed on this. And I would say more often than not, sadly, we've actually failed to honor our sisters. I think at times we've silenced or simply neglected them, or sadly too often not honored, not respected them, and as a result, our sisters have suffered. And so to the men listening today, I just got to ask you, what does it look like? We have to ask this question. What does it look like for us to honor our sisters as sisters in the faith, sisters in ministry? What does that look like? To honor these incredible women of God who have giftings that God has given, not only for the flourishing of this faith community right here, but of our entire community, our city. What does it mean for you to honor them? And I don't know, some of you, I know your mom is with you here today. That happens just about every year in the city. We've got some people that bring their mom into the city for Mother's Day. And if your mom is with you, or if your wife is with you, or your daughter, or your friends who are women, man, I think it's so important that we see them as sisters in the faith. So thank them, encourage them, support them to be all God has called them to be. And to the women here today, I just want to say, like, to you personally and hopefully powerfully, you are our sisters in the faith. You are our sisters in Christ, incredibly gifted, strong, capable, and we absolutely need you. We need your intellect, we need your wisdom, we need your creativity, we need your leadership, we need your teaching, we need your passion. And because I'm here at our Lincoln Park location today, which I love and live near and is my unabashedly favorite location, I have a bias. I really do. And I believe that our community here in the city has some of the most gifted and talented women in our church. And that comes with a responsibility, men and women, but an opportunity too. I just want to say, we want to be that. I know we've got a ways to go. We've got a lot to learn, but we want to be the kind of place where you can grow in your leadership, you can grow in your ministry, you can grow in your serving. So if there's ways that we can improve and make that better, I know I speak on behalf of John and the rest of the staff, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. You're our sisters in the faith, and the truth is we just can't flourish without you. And your stories, we need you. And our prayers that you would step fully into your gifting and who God created you to be. All right? You know, talking about Phoebe today got me thinking. It reminded me that about 80 years ago, a young woman married a carpenter in rural Missouri. 2 years later, they were blessed with a son. And boy, this little family, they had their ups and downs. Health challenges, loss of employment, financial struggles. They had 5 more children. This woman had her first when she was 17. She had her last when she was 42. Yeah, that's a 25-year span, folks. Common, ordinary people who learned to lean on the promises of God and just did their best to follow Jesus. But I'll tell you what, anyone who had any interaction with that family will tell you that the spiritual leader in that home was that young mom, without a doubt. And that's not to take anything away from her husband. She was the spiritual leader. All 3 of her sons became pastors. All 3 of her daughters have led or contributed in significant ways to the mission of Jesus. Most of her grandchildren are Christ followers, many of them in vocational ministry. And that mom was my grandma. Yeah. And her firstborn son was my dad. And this is the fun part. You know what her name was? Yeah, Phoebe. It's pretty cool, huh? Yeah. And so, you know, her life and her influence, I think you could say, you know, directly or indirectly influenced thousands of people to find their way back to God. And so I thank God for her life, her leadership, her legacy. And I'm also thankful that community is a place where women like Phoebe, my grandmother, or Phoebe, the woman who Paul acknowledged in Romans chapter 16, is a place where they can use their God-given gifts to contribute to the mission. I'm thankful that that's the kind of church we want to be, we have been, and we will be. Not perfect. Lots of flaws. Don't think we have it all figured out by any means. Because while I say that, I also know, like I said, that we have a ways to go. Let me just leave it at that. But I don't want us to stop until every little girl who grows up in our church has the opportunity to lead and serve in whatever ways God has gifted her. And even laughs at the notion that there was a time when her gender might have limited her opportunities in the church. And let me respectfully say, if you hold a different position than this, this one teaching may not have changed your mind, but we're excited to continue, and we want you to track with us and stay with us the course of this series.